Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, please turn with me to them, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 will be our opening passage, and we'll probably touch base a little bit on Matthew chapter 7. Hebrews 12 and Matthew chapter 7. While you're turning there, on December 2001, the Leaning Tower of Pisa was finally opened up to the public after having been closed over a dozen years. And during that time, engineers spent $25 million renovating the project to help try to stabilize the Leaning Tower of Pisa. They removed about 110 tons of dirt and reduced the famous Leaning Tower of Pisa by about 16 inches. All that money for 16 inches. I mean, why was that necessary? Well, why is because the tower had been tilting further and further away from its vertical position for hundreds of years, to the point to where the 185-foot tower was 17 feet further south than from its original bottom. That's a pretty big lean. And so the Italian authorities, they were concerned about this, and that if nothing was done, this famous piece of architecture built many hundreds of years ago would just collapse. And, you know, they were faced with, what was the problem? Was the problem bad design? Was it poor workmanship? Was it maybe an inferior grade of marble that they used for this tower? But no, they discovered the problem was underneath. The sandy soil on which they built the city of Pisa, that they built those structures, it just wasn't stable enough to support that particular tower, that monument of that size. And so this huge tower had no firm foundation underneath of it. Now, when you or I think of construction, we think about the physical structures that are around us, houses that we live in, the buildings that we work in, the bridges that we cross. And these structures are built to withstand elements. Now, as you've seen in the news, bridges aren't built to withstand boats that run into them. We saw the tragic of that. But most of them are built to withstand the elements, to provide us with safety and shelter, and built to last for a very long time. Now, what makes these structures so durable? It isn't the materials necessarily that they're made of, but it's based on the foundation that they're built on. And so the same is true in our lives. Our lives are a lot like buildings. I mean, we can build on it the best with the best materials. We can have impressive achievements, lots of accomplishments in our life. We can decorate them with good deeds that we do. You know, we do a lot of good deeds. We say a lot of kind words. But if our lives are not built on a strong foundation, then they won't stand. Because what will happen is they'll crumble under the pressures of life. Now, our church is a structure. It's built on a foundation of God's love and the sacrifice that He made for us in order for our faith to be able to grow. That's what we sing about. That's what we worshiped Him about before when we came in this morning. And our goal here at Prayer of Faith is to provide you with biblically based teachings, not just to stand up here and tell stories all about ourselves or what we did during the week, but to provide you with biblically based messages that will challenge you, that will inspire you, and that will equip you in your relationship and walk with Jesus. Are you ready to worship the Lord this morning? Amen. Let's shout out Psalms 150, verse 6. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Boy, y'all said that really good. Let's go to prayer. Father, we thank You that we stand in awe of just the goodness and mercy that You give us today. And we invite you to be among us by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And Father, we just stand here as a church to declare to you this morning that we love you in accordance. And we thank you for the love that you have given us through the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, on a cross on Calvary. And we pray that you would reveal to us this morning the great love that you have for us today that we can impart to others as we gather to worship in your word and to talk about how strong a foundation is. And so may our mouths proclaim your everlasting greatness. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And amen. All right, let's look at our passage this morning in chapter 12. Let's go down to verse 27. Hebrews 12:27. It says, yet once more denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken as of created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. Talking there about an unshakable kingdom with God. You know, and I'm so thankful today that the writer is saying in Hebrews 12, verse 27, that everything that is man-made is temporary and is being shaken. I mean, we're living in a time right now where we don't know what's going to happen in the next 7 months or what it's going to bring. I mean, it can make one feel a little uneasy, just a little bit, because we don't know what's coming, especially being an election year. We have wars that's happening all around the world, which we see on our TV at night and on our social media streams. That you, every time you pull up, you know, your phone out, you got some highlight of what's going on around the world. And we have lots of things happening internally with our nation itself. Lots of strife going on. Lots of demonstrations. I mean, things of this nature happening. Everything that can be shaken is being shaken. But we have received a kingdom now. We have received a kingdom according to this word. Now, if you haven't received Christ in your life, then you can't shout an amen on that. But if you have received Jesus Christ in your life and are a believer in him, then you and I have received a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And I'm happy to say that most of my family will be in that kingdom, is in that kingdom. And many of yours as well are in that kingdom. Now, even so that we're in that kingdom, that doesn't necessarily mean that we're immune from trouble or storms or difficulties or adversities that come our way. But whatever life does bring us, you and I have received a kingdom, a structure, a firm foundation that can't be shaken. I know it because many of you always tell me about your foundation in Christ as well. And so my message to you today is how to be unshakable in your relationship with God, in your walk with Christ. My message is entitled, An Unshakable Foundation. Because you see, the foundation that we have in our lives and that we build things upon, it does matter. That's why in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, it talks about that there's only two foundations on which people build their homes and live their lives on. Jesus talks about the home on the rock that he said in Matthew, chapter 7, verse 25. You can see it on the screen. It says, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against the house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. It was structured on the rock. And then in verse 26, it reads, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like the foolish man who built his house in the sand." Verse 27 says, "The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell." And not only did it fall, he said, "It was a great, and great was its fall." But notice this in reading those verses. Notice that they both go through the same thing. We're not immune. We are not immune. We don't get a get out of jail card or card that says you can go past go and get by without free without or get by free without having to pay. We don't get a get out of suffering card that God gives us when we become one of His believers just because we are Christians. Because we are all going to go through it in life. But the only difference between the two parables that Jesus told us about is what they are building their lives upon. One is sand, one is rock. And Jesus said that the one in the sand fell, and great was its fall. The other stood strong during the extreme storm. Now, you can walk into a room like this or any home, and you seldom really think about the structure. I mean, you don't come in this church thinking, "Man, before I go in there, I want to make sure that this thing has a good foundation on it. I don't want to fall through some boards in the floor, and who knows if there's anything under that building, creepy crawlies." You don't think about that when you come into this building. Because it really doesn't matter to you or I, as long as it's standing. You don't care what's under the cement. You don't care about the rebar. You don't care about the pipes. You don't care about any of that. You just don't think about stuff like that. Unless a leak pops up or you got to take care of a leak. Now, that's something to think about. But even in this building, the steel and the structure behind these walls, there's all kinds of things that you and I can't see, even under the floor here. There's a bunch of wires that run from the back of the sound booth underneath this floor all the way up here to the back of the baptistry. How do I know? Because I've seen Spencer pulling on those wires and running them through for the sound equipment and stuff. I didn't even know there was a little tunnel to fit those wires through until he was doing that. But it's the structure of the building itself that makes it stand. What we see when we come in here, we see the carpet, we see the seats, we see the lights, and we see the big speakers up there and so forth. But it's the structure, the support that holds everything up in this building that allows us to come and worship. It's just like a body. Your body, my body, we see the outward part. We see the skin, the face, the hair, the clothing, but it's your skeleton. It's the structure, and if you lose your skeleton, then you have nothing. You're just a blob of skin, some muscle tissue, some intestines, but it's the skeleton. It's your structure. And the same goes true of a church. The same goes true of a home. It's all about the structure that it has. You know, the amazing thing about when they build homes, especially, particularly the ones that can withstand a lot of the storms, not tornadoes necessarily, but sometimes you get a tornado that goes through Barnesdale and you ain't nothing going to stop that thing. But a lot of times you get these storms and strong winds that come. The one down in Houston was amazing. I don't know if there was any tornadoes in that thing, but that wind did as much damage as if it went through one. But a lot of times when they build these homes that are going to live in those extreme storms, and is the way that it has to be constructed. Because what's interesting is when they put those houses together, they're told not to use air nail guns. Which I thought was kind of interesting. So that when you're building a hurricane shelter or building a home that can withstand those strong hurricane type of winds, that they can guarantee that this home is still going to be there. Just board up the windows. I mean, it's not going to protect the glass, but your home should still be there. It'll be there through the terrible storms, the gale force winds, and whatever comes through those areas that house should be able to stand strong. And there's nothing wrong with using an Airnell gun. Nothing wrong at all. I mean, during the month of June in Oklahoma especially, after May is over with, the extreme storms and so forth, a lot of times you or I will hear a pop, 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 pop in your neighborhood. And some of your neighbors, if not yourselves, are busy getting new roofs or roof repair as a result of the May weather that goes on here in Oklahoma. Because the reason they do this is it goes up quick. And I think the air nail gun is a brilliant invention, especially if you want something to last maybe 10, 20, 30 years. I mean, it might even last 50 years with an air nail gun. And sometimes you can hear throughout your neighborhood a lot of these roofers, when they're doing these buildings, they'll do a little rhythm with a nail gun to kind of remind them that they have put the proper amount of nails in the shingle. Pop, 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 pop. Or it's just interesting to kind of hear the things that they do with those things. But if you're going to build something that's going to endure the most extreme and the worst of storms, then you kind of have to avoid the modern tools, as they suggest, the ones that run on batteries, and instead you have to get out the old hammer and nail. I mean, it's pretty amazing how all of that works, especially in our spiritual life and our walk with Christ, because the old method is the one that you want to trust when the storm comes and when all hell is breaking loose in your life. I don't need to know that my whole life is built on just a pop, 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 little bit of religion. But I need that old hammer. And I need that old nail. I need that cross. Because I need something that will outlast the storm. If you're just building a temporary church, pop, 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 within the latest, the greatest, or whatever, then that'll do. But I want to remind you, church, that prayer of faith is not a temporary church. We've been here since 1986. We've been here for 38 years. And this church was built with a firm foundation. Matter of fact, the founding pastor was a brick masoner. So he knew what he was doing. I'm not a cutting edge preacher. Pastor Adam's not a cutting edge preacher. And we're not up here trying to build a fly-by-night drive-through church something to get you going quick and be gone and maybe get a lot of people in here, in and out. We still believe that without the church, the family disintegrates. We still believe that without the church, the gates of hell will prevail. Without the church. And so if you're building a temporary church, and we've seen them, lots of you and I have seen them driving by. You see them in strip malls, you see them here and there. They're here for a little while, then all of a sudden they're gone. Sometimes we've seen big buildings erected, and then the next time you drive by, it's either up for sale or abandoned. It's kind of sad. Pop, pop, pop. Use their nail gun. Pop, pop, pop. I'm mad at that church. Let's go start our own. It'll be fine. It'll last a little while. But then, like the Tower of Babel, it'll fall. We're not interested in building that kind of church. We don't get a whole lot of disgruntled people that come to Prayer of Faith. We get a lot of hurting people that perhaps may have been hurt from previous churches or somewhere else. And we hope that they will come, stick, and stay. Many come here to become healed. and then they venture out to where God calls them. But we're very fortunate for the ones that have come and stick and stayed. And so if you're going to build a safe structure that will withstand the storm, you don't need all kinds of these new gadgets and these new methods. You need a hammer and you need a nail. You need something that you know is tried and true and will know for sure that will withstand the storm. We're not just building a garage that you can just pop, 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 you know, with quick religion and put something up to come on, just to come on Sunday, pop, 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 and that's it. I'm good. As Pastor Adam was talking about earlier, you know, don't get your Sunday fix and be out of here. Try exploring the other ministries we have, the Wednesday night fellowships with Bible study that you can actually talk to one another other than just the meet and greet. It's a big deal. Strengthens the church. Strengthens the foundation. But it's the hammer and the nail. Because the carpenter's son, Jesus, said that he will build his church in Matthew chapter 16. He'll build his church and he's not going to use an air nail gun. But rather, Jesus, God Almighty, came down from heaven in a skin suit to planet Earth. The Bible said in Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, up on the screen, he says, who has already existed in the form of God, did not consider it equality with God, something to be grasped. Lucifer did, but Jesus didn't. And then in Philippians 2, 7, it reads, but he emptied himself out, taking the form of a servant, taking the form of a human, and being made in the likeness of men. All of the Godhead was in him. All of God put on an earth suit, came to this earth, and for 30 years, he did not preach a single sermon. I mean, he created the universe. He hung this world on what was nothing before. And he spoke the world into existence. And he created man. He created you and me. And now he came to earth in skin and flesh and blood. And the flesh part of Jesus was 100% man. And the spirit part of him was 100% God. And for 30 years, he doesn't heal. He doesn't do anything. Why? Because it's not a pop, 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 pop nail gun process that he's building. And for 3.5 years, he travels, he heals, he preaches, and then he says, I'm going to build me a church. And what the devil didn't know is this, that the thing that he was going to use was a hammer, 3 nails, and 2 beams called a cross. And he said, that's going to be my structure, that if you build your life on this, and if you flesh out your life from that cross, and as long as the foundation and the structure of your life is that cross, and the hammer, and those 3 nails, along with the blood that I shed for you, then I promise you, it will be a storm shelter that will last through anything that all hell can bring against you and your family. The Bible put it like this. In Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17, it says that no weapon formed against you or I will prosper. And every tongue that accuses you in judgment, you, speaking of God, will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. Now that's in Isaiah. the Old Testament, prophesying about the new foundation that's going to be built. I just need to, can I hear an amen on that verse? I mean, if you believe in that foundation that's unshakable, I mean, I just need you to lean in on the words of Jesus when he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, you and I know that the church is not these buildings. We come here to worship, call it a church, but you and I are the church. The church is you. The church is you and your family. The church is you and your children and even your grandchildren. And Jesus said that I'm going to build my church with a hammer and a nail, and it's not going to be anything that's very quick. Because you're going to go through some things. And sometimes you're going to pray. And sometimes it's going to be a pop, pop, pop. You'll get a quick answer. But then you know when you're really getting strong is when God allows those hammer and nails to start. And the hammer and the nail is the blood, the sweat, and tears. Because you see, when you use a hammer and nail, sometimes you miss that nail and hit your thumb. And it's bloody, and it's hurtful, and it's painful, and you're suffering, and you're going through long days and long nights, and sometimes it can just be exhausting. But when God doesn't give you a quick pop, 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 nail gun answer, then just know this, that He is building a structure in your family that'll last generations. I mean, it's not a quick throw-up type of garage. This is a generational blessing that'll last through generations. And every time that you open up this book, you're using the hammer and the nail. Because there's lots of things out there to help you with your relationship with Christ. Lots of aids, lots of helps, lots of books. But this book is the hammer and the nails. And every time also you come to church, it's just not the pop, pop, pop of who we are. This is who we are when we worship Christ and love each other and stand strong with each other for years. This is what this family is supposed to do, to bring your family to worship. Because what you're doing is you're building an eternal house for you and your family. A lot of times it's for you to get your personal satisfaction. But when you bring your family, you're building buildings that will last an eternal house. I mean, that's what Noah did. Noah was commanded by God to build an ark for the saving of his family, Scripture says. And it wasn't a nail gun. It was a hammer and nail approach. And listen to this. It took 120 years to build that boat. Can you imagine the people who were making fun of him? Can you imagine what maybe some of the people might have been saying? Well, that's stupid. Why do you guys go to church? Why do you worship God? Why are you building that boat? Why do you all pray? Why do you all still worship him and consider things holy and pure? Listen to me, church. We're living in that time now, where the nail gun religion, the pop, pop, pop of just going to church on Easter and Christmas is a good thing. To go to church, love God in their own way, and do your own thing. We're living in that time now. But there's something to the old method of the hammer and the nail. Because what that says is that we're going to church because I want to build a house that is going to endure and to stand. Now, I can't promise you that you're not going to go through some stuff. I can't promise you that your kids are going to go through some stuff. They'll cause you grief. Can't promise you that your marriage won't go through some stuff. But I can promise you that if you're building on the right structure and you're building on the right foundation, then hell can hit you with its best shot. And the old wolf, who's the devil, can huff and puff and all he wants to, but he's not going to be able to blow your house down. Why? Because Jesus himself, the carpenter's son, said that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And if your family is inside of the church, that protects you. That gives you strength. That gives you the promise that Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. It's a guarantee to your family. And your home will be standing. Matter of fact, just turn to someone and say, that's a guarantee. I didn't see y'all say it's a guarantee over here. No, but I love that Noah built the ark. And he got his family inside of it, and everybody was mocking him and making fun of him. And then all the storm came, and it began raining. And when the storm came, Noah and his family went in a minority, but after it receded, they came out a majority. And the only thing that the storm did was get rid of their critics. And we have a structure, church family, that is based on the cross, the hammer, the nails, and the blood, and the Son of God. And I can't even promise you that our government or even our nation will be remaining or still standing strong in the next 100 years from now. But if the Lord should tarry in His coming, the church, I promise you this, the church of Jesus Christ will be alive. Why? Because it's alive in China, where they're trying to snuff it out. It's alive in the Ukraine, where they're being bombarded by military bombs. It's alive in Russia, where they're facing persecution. It's alive all over the world, and they can't snuff it out because it's built to last. A matter of fact, about the interesting thing about the church is the more that you try to get rid of it, the larger that it grows, the more it spreads. And especially in this time we live, with all of the things and the culture wants us to change and to adjust to and wants us to make, we need to be aware of how crucial the structure of our faith is to be able to withstand that as will be coming against us. Right now we have it easy. It's easy to worship in America. You may get some criticism, but nothing like anywhere else in the world. So it's easy, but there will be a time when those storms do come. The Bible said that if the foundations are destroyed, then what will a nation and a church do? What will the people of God do? And that's happening in some churches. They're allowing their foundations and their structures to be messed with. Matter of fact, you've heard it in the news in the past 2 weeks of a denomination that did that. But as Christians, we are living in a time where we have to say that we are going to stick to a sure foundation, which is Jesus Christ. I mean, even here in America, the Ten Commandments are mocked and removed in many places. The foundation, the very structure of what America is built on. And when we see what our forefathers did with our nation, it wasn't perfect, but the structure itself is good and pure and true because it was founded through faith in God. Even our Constitution we have in America, the structure with the Supreme Court and the structure of the justice, the structure itself is good. Yes, it's going to be filled with some abuses that go on with it, but it's the very structure in itself that when it was created that makes this nation of America great. Because it was people that came, even though the people that came and constructed the Constitution and the things that America stands on, they were not flawless. They had terrible flaws. But they still came together saying, we want one nation under God. I mean, even the coins that we have, thank God, says in God we trust on them still. So if you want to take that and move that structure out, then get ready for the collapse of the economy. Because in God we trust. And this book right here, this Bible is on target. This book is alive. This book is real. And culture should not dare change any of that. I mean, the modernistic culture, it's everywhere. It's all around us. But that shouldn't change us as believers in Christ and Christians. Yes? Yes, let's love everybody. Let's treat them with kindness. Let's show them the love of Christ. But still, stand for what you stand on. Because the sad reality is that you won't know when you gave up too much until it's too late. Until the storm's upon you. Samson made a Nazarite vow that he would not drink wine. It was his personal conviction. It was a vow that he made to God, a Nazarite vow. And God said, that's the deal, Samson. I'm going to honor that for you. Samson said, God, as a Nazarite, I won't drink. I won't touch dead things. And I won't cut my hair. That's my vow to you, God. It's a consecration. Well, the next thing you know, Samson's drinking a little wine. He's touching dead things. There was a lion that was slain, and he reached down and got some honey out of that dead lion. So he's touching dead things. He's sleeping with his girlfriend, Delilah. Whoops. And I can still see Samson when he goes back to the gym saying, guys, watch this. I can bench press 600 pounds. Whoop, whoop, whoop. I mean, he was still strong, doing all of those things still. You won't know when the power has left you once you start messing with the structure of your relationship and your convictions with God. You won't know. A little here, a little there, a little here, a little there. You don't know. Samson, how weak you've become, and it's very deceiving to you. You still think you're strong, and you are in ways, but just wait. And you don't know the day, the hour, or the time, but suddenly the Philistines are upon him. And then he wished not that he did those things. He shook himself off like other times, thinking, it'll be okay, I'll get it back, but it wasn't there. Why? Because he messed with the structure so much that the spirit had left. And I'm simply trying to convey to you that the structure really matters. The foundation of your life in Christ really matters. It's not just a get out of hell ticket, go to heaven ticket, get eternal life ticket. It includes that, but it's not strictly based on that. How much music, how much filthy music can you hear before it affects the structure of who you are? How much pornography can you look at before it affects you and who you are? In my generation, that pornography, they kept that stuff behind the counter. But in this generation, it's in your pocket. And I shudder, especially for a lot of the young men now, because back then they didn't have access to it, but now it's so easy to access that stuff. And so how long can you just mess and dabble with that stuff? How long can you hang and run with the wrong friends? I mean, you can do that if you want. And you can still come to church. And you can still feel God's presence. I'm not questioning your relationship with God. But what I am questioning is how long can you sustain it? As you make more and more and more structural changes to your foundation. Somehow, we think a lot of times, well, I'll shift this, I'll change this around, I'll change this. And when we do that, before you know, you're not the same person that you used to be. That's where the fear of the Lord comes in. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 on the screen says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom." The fear of the Lord isn't that you go running around hiding and saying, "God, don't shoot me with a lightning bolt, please." The fear of the Lord is your respect, your honor for Him. And that's the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord keeps us in proper perspective. And we need the fear of the Lord back in the church. And we need to understand that anybody can fall. But as Jude, the book of Jude, chapter 1, verse 24, encourages us that when we do fall, it says, "Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling," because we all stumble, "and to make you stand in the presence of His glory, blameless with great joy." If we stay connected to the skeleton, the framework, the foundation, which is Jesus, a lot of times our spirit's going to fail, but it'll always get back up if your structure and foundation is in Jesus. Because the structure and foundation is solid. God, when He put Adam to sleep, He reached into Adam's side and He opened it up and He pulled a rib out. Now, why God put Adam to sleep when He did that? Because God didn't want Adam's opinion on how to make his bride. Because I'm sure he would have given it. And in the same way, in our life with Christ, God doesn't ask you or me about our opinion with His bride. Oh, we give it a lot of times. Oh, our church didn't do this, or so-and-so in our church is doing that. We got a lot of opinions about the bride, but Jesus knows what He is doing. He is a carpenter, and He said, "I am going to do it with a hammer and a nail, and I don't care if you like it or not, but that's the way I'm going to do it. You either go and repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins and receive the Holy Spirit and get into my word and love me and forgive others and walk in forgiveness and holiness and separation and live with me or for me, or don't do it at all." But our opinion isn't going to change this guy with the hammer and the nail building the church and creating his bride. God forms the beautiful woman Eve, and out of the structure, out of the foundation of Adam. And God brings her to Adam, and Adam wakes up and he says, "You are bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh," and power comes from that structure within. Do you know the Bible says in the book of Leviticus that the life of the flesh is in the blood, and life comes from the blood? Where does blood come from? Blood comes from your bones. Bone marrow. That's what produces blood. So if you start messing around with the structure of your bones, then you're going to get in trouble. Because the bone structure can choke off the blood supply. So don't be messing around with the bone structure. There's a story in 2 Samuel chapter 21 where they didn't handle the bones of a king in the right way. And God sent in a famine because they didn't do it right. Because when you start changing the structure of a house or of a nation or of a home that God has built, then it won't last. The structure, the foundation of a believer in Jesus Christ is to repent and be baptized and be born again. To when you do that, old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. If you have invited Christ into your life, and old things haven't passed away yet, you may need to rethink your prayer that you prayed for repentance. Because when you have Christ in your life, old things pass away, and all things become new. It's going to take time. It's not a pop, pop, pop air nail gun thing. But you should start seeing changes in your life once you've asked Christ into your heart. Because an unshakable foundation is found in Jesus Christ. But when you start changing the structure of that foundation, it's not going to last. In Genesis chapter 32, Jacob strutted into Bethel, and he ended up wrestling with God. And he walked in as Jacob, and he wrestled with God. And God says, I'm going to change you, but I'm going to change you structurally first. And he pulled his hip out of joint. And he wrestled with the angel, and it pulled his hip out of joint. And God says, now that I've changed the structure of who you are, now you can walk out. And I'm changing your name from Jacob to Israel. And yes, you're going to walk with a limp. And you're not going to walk, but you're not going to walk out the same as you came in. Because I've changed you structurally. And you are not the same person inwardly that you used to be. Because if you read about Jacob, he was quite the trickster. He was a con man. He wanted to look good, but he was a con man. He looked good from the outside, but he was slimy along the edges. You ever know someone like that? Good person, but when you get to know them, or they're a little slimy. But when God changed Jacob to Israel, and he walked out a different man, that's old-fashioned repentance right there. Because God even can change you and I how we walk. Amen? I mean, they may have told you stuff to where counseling that you received couldn't change you. Sounded good. It pertained to you. But there ain't no way you're going to do it. Because nobody can change you unless you want to be changed. Now, you even go maybe to a program to change you. And I'm not against any of those programs. They think they help us to stay on the straight and narrow many times. But you have to have a structural change at some point in your spiritual life to experience that, to get you from off of your old foundation of the flesh. Because the blood and the cross and the nails and the hammer at Calvary are the only things that can change you and be able to transform you, not some program. Let me close with this. In the book of 2 Kings, the Bible said that the Israelites were coming from a battle, and one of their soldiers had been slain, and they were being chased by the enemy, so they ended up taking the corpse of that soldier because it was going to slow him down, and they threw his body in a cave. Well, in 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 21, screen, it reads, as they were burying a man, behold, they saw a marauding band, and they cast the man into the grave of Elisha. And when the man touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. It was the cave where Elisha had been lying dead. And when the dead soldier of a new generation touched the old bones of the prophet, he touched the old foundation, he touched that old structure, and he came alive. Now notice this. Anytime the structure is there, resurrection power is looking for an opportunity to rise on it. Because resurrection is always attracted to structure, which means that if the enemy attacks you or your family, as long as you hold on to the word and hold on to the cross and hold on to the name of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit within you, I can't promise you that it's going to look like you're dead sometimes, but I can tell you that it does draw resurrection power because it's always drawn to a strong foundation. I understand how it looks bad maybe at times, things happening with the new generation and such, but if they will touch the old structure, the old hammer and the nail, not the pop, pop, pop of the air gun, but the hammer, the nail, and the cross, things will change. When they had the Passover lamb mentioned in the book of Leviticus, there was a command, and Jesus fulfilled this prophecy. It said that whenever you eat that lamb, make sure that when you cook it and you prepare it, not to break any of its bones. No bones on that lamb are to be broken when you eat it. And isn't it amazing that when they took Jesus to Calvary and hung him on the cross, there was a thief on both sides of Jesus hanging as well. And the soldiers, in order to speed up the process, would break the knees of the person that they were crucifying. And the Bible said they went to break the knees of the soldier on one side, so they broke his knees. They went to the other thief on the other side, broke his knees, because this would happen. This would make the blood go faster and would cause the person to die as it drained out of them. So then they go to break the knees of Jesus, the Passover lamb, and the Bible said that he had a spear stuck in his side. Now listen to this. The spear stuck into his side, blood and water gushed forth from that side. Now go back and think about Adam and Eve. Eve comes out of Adam's side, blood and water, born again. God is going to get Adam's bride out of Adam. Just as God is going to get the bride of Christ out of his side, for we are the body of Christ, church. We are the blood representing the body of Christ. And the powerful thing is when they went to break the knees of Jesus, they said, there's no need to break his legs. He's already dead. Why? Why would they not break Jesus' knees? Why? Because of the structure he had. You don't mess with the structure. And any time that structure remains, it doesn't matter how bad that the situation gets. If you stay with that structure, if you stay on that firm foundation, then resurrection is always attracted to the structure of an unbroken foundation. And on the third day, he rose up out of that grave, out of that tomb, because of his unshakable foundation. Church, hell may want to destroy your family. Hell may want to destroy your marriage. All of us have been there, one way or the other. We've struggled one way or the other with hell coming against us. And I can only say, I'll say this, sometimes you just feel like all you got left is a skeleton. But if the structure stands, then get ready for resurrection power. Because God's not finished with you or your family yet. Mamas, quit worrying. Quit being afraid. If you built your foundation under your children, God says today, I will build my church in them. The man with the hammer and the nail said, and the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Guaranteed.